Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, run With the Will, and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I am awake.
Legally awake. How are you doing, Dev?
It is cold, and I have been counting many, many objects.
And you cursed me a lot when you found out what the weather was like out here.
Yeah, look, I'm calling out a hit on Punxsutawney Phil because, hey, it was warm for a day or two. The snow melted, and then it's back down to below freezing, and I nearly ate shit just stepping outside.
I have a fan aimed at me on low.
I'm going to hunt you down and beat you to death with that fan.
You're welcome to try. Let's go ahead and start. Let's go ahead and start that. Hey, beat break.
So, speaking of people having a bad fucking time,
this is a weird one. It's a good episode, but man, it's really manic to end an episode like that and to tie up the cliffhanger in like 5 seconds of the episode.
Yeah, I assumed that fight would be going on for a little bit longer, but
this is where they didn't need to have it on a battle cliffhanger, but they chose to make everyone think that, like, oh man, it's going to get even more hardcore in the next episode, and it doesn't.
Like, yeah, what I was actually expecting to happen was like, oh, maybe Azardmon starts attacking the humans instead, just goes completely berserk, and it's like, oh nope, he's like a bug on electric fly swatter,
and also it. The audience vanishes, the arena's empty, except Genjo, who they decide to just sit there. Although he does confirm something has been confirmed for him. And then that's when Glowing Dawn arrives. I like Reyna pointing out Toro needs to thank Hitomi. And then weirdly, Naito surprised to see Kyo. Clay begins to realize whoever did this might have done it to get Kyo there. I'm not sure why he's surprised to see Kyo, because everyone has like openly admitted that if you do anything to someone Kyo considers family, you're not necessarily fucked, but he's going to show up and cause issues for you. So I'm not sure why he's surprised that if Tomro just magically appears there somehow, it's not that wild of a surprise that Kiel will, I think.
Yeah, it's like they kind of said last week, it's like, oh, he shouldn't be here. Someone hacked our system.
Yeah.
And Clay's like, yeah, just let it keep rolling. Yeah. It'll be fine.
And then
Kyo shows up like, oh, it's not fine. Yeah.
And then Genjo gives a Sapotama to Gokuamon. Then we see Granite talking to Ludomon. Oh, Granite's decided that Stella has to forgive him, so he has to do something right as they're summoned. I'm not sure that bit of dialogue helped, to be honest.
It kind of showed that he's like, oh, okay, he's a little suicidal. Just a little bit.
I feel like that was more muddying the waters, to be honest. And then I like how Glowing Dawn's like, we're just going to grab Tomro and Gekkoumon and run. But then once he explains what's going on, Kyo's pissed. Then Tactic shows up. Naito wants them to kill Raito. And then I like Naito even going, someone set this up, but we're going to anyways. And then everyone except Kyo just fucking leaves.
Like, we are out of here.
And then Pristimon evolves. And that's when, like, not quite everyone's left. Kyo's going to make them pay. The Marasmon and Gigasmon battling is interesting because it does kind of just feel like a repeat of the one from before.
Yeah, it goes pretty much exactly the same way with Mersaimon chopping off his limb.
To be fair, that's a lot later in the episode, though. That's a lot. Wolvermon jumps in to distract the guards. Then Reyna goes to stop Granite. Hodoruku finds Raito. She has something to tell him, and then they cut away. And that's when the arms get cut off. And then Ludomon jumps in to block a finishing jump. I like Wolvermon diving in to knock him out of the way. That feels like one of the more dynamic fight moments we've actually had.
Yeah, instead of just like multiple on one, she's like, oh, let's make intelligent decisions and separate the enemies from each other.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is in Clay in a flashback says Kyo used to be perfect. Did they know? I don't recall if they had actually clarified if those two actually knew each other. I don't remember. It's one of those things where it probably was mentioned offhand and I forgot. And then, hey, Gigasmon regenerates his arm. And then Naito gives an order to Granite because I gave you it once before. And then Ludomon energized, freaks out, and jumps in front of the blast. And then Granite's in pain.
He tanks it.
Yeah, basically. And everything hitting Ludomon is reflecting back or being blocked. And that's when everyone realizes Granite's just basically pumping E-Pulse into the shield. And it's just, like, draining him, cold-hearting him right then. And he expects to die, basically. And then
he's so thrilled about it.
And then, weirdly, it feels like the eye catches have kind of gotten confused with themselves. Arena eye catch here feels weird.
Not too weird, just it, because I think, like,
it doesn't feel
weird the last time, and
it doesn't necessarily feel weird for the later portion of the episode. It does at this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
No sign of Raito in the cold heart room. Makoto calls him to the basement, which is a weird room full of red spikes and cold-hearted people that Trapmon is randomly going around and identifying. And Raito's also there, and he's like, I sent everyone here. And this is where, like...
like, I am so cool, I'm a genius, this is all my fault, hell yeah.
This is where we get him, like, bragging about himself, and you can tell he doesn't really believe it anymore.
Yeah, he's having a little bit of a crash out. Yeah.
And interestingly, Gigasmon doesn't get why Murasumon stopped fighting. And then Granite's almost dead. He wants Reyna to leave him alone. He's fine with all this. Then we get a flashback to when they meet Naito and Gigasmon. Basically, he wants a place to die. Naito says he has uses, but he'll give him that if he obeys orders. And then he thinks maybe Stella will forgive him. And then we get Sorry, go ahead. And then Raito finds out from Hotaruka he was never going to be allowed back, which is interesting that he, because you'd think he would have been smart enough to figure that out.
No, absolutely not, because, like, they fired him, and he's like, hey, if I go into
if I go and win,
they'll let me back.
Especially since it's weird, because nothing with him being removed had to do with lack of fighting skills. Like, he does not even really stop to think about it, to be honest. And then, here's where something interesting gets pulled up. Raito doesn't understand why Tomura is trying to save him. It's kind of interesting, because it feels like at times... I mean, the idea is that Tomura's had growth. But it's interesting they don't try to really point it out. At least, like, initially.
Well, I figure it's been 20-some episodes. You can kind of...
No, I know, but I mean, like...
assume he's had it.
But
point.
I mean, like, when they have a character actually pointed out, and then it's not really clarified, and then Kettomon shows up excited with a Saputama, this is where Beatbreak is interesting, in that it goes out of its way to set specific rules for Digimon, and we clearly see those rules are not ironclad, but does not clarify. Because they should lose their memories, shouldn't they? Or am I mixing it up with a different one?
Because
they should be starting fresh, right?
No, I figure... No, but not necessarily.
You think I'm mixing it up with another one?
Yeah, I think it's Liberator. Yeah, because that popped up in the most recent chapter.
Oh, am I mixing up with what was said in Liberator like a week or two ago?
Yes.
See, I thought it was here also because they talked about it with the Galgamon.
It's like you can start over, but it doesn't imply, like, oh, you lose all your memories. It's just like, you're a precious baby and we'll take care of you.
Fair enough. Let's see.
Especially because, like, the... what do you call it? I forget which one it was, one of the babies recognized Tomura and was, like, hiding. Oh,
I took that as generic...
Beauty Mon that used behind Mon.
I took that as generic fear, not necessarily actually remembering.
I took it as more like, yeah. Yes, you were the one that wanted to actually, like, murder the shit out of me your buddy stopped you. Yeah.
See, but that's the thing is he's scared of him from that. He's not necessarily scared of him from something that happened before, is what I mean. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The first
part, it looks like they remember everything.
See, I thought it was that the first thing that he saw as a baby was someone threatening him. So he knows Tomura from that. Even if he doesn't remember him from before. Either way, it's roughly the same. And then Progonomon bursts up in the room.
Like, he looks a lot bigger than he did in the last shot standing next to Clay.
Yeah, and then Naido's excited by this as the whole place cracks apart. We also get some narration from Clay. I love the narration as he's cutting a bit off the bonsai.
Yep,
Like, that's an easy stereotypical thing to do, but it adds so much, I think. And then Gigasmon...
Like, oh, we're not just cutting our losses, we're just pruning a bonsai. Yeah.
And then Gigasmon launches Ludomon, hits Rossmon hard. Reyna wants an explanation from Granite. Granite is still, like, freaking out about Stella. Reyna goes running, and Reyna just grabs Ludomon out of the air, spinning around and stopping his turn. That was probably the shot of the episode.
Yeah, it's, like, absolutely badass.
And then...
And she's more successful at stopping Ludomon than Wolvermon.
Yeah, that's the funny thing.
Realistically.
And then Reyna holds Ludomon, like, ranting about if they're okay with it. They should have... Ludomon looks over Granite. Gigasmon's able to get the shield back. Granite's basically just about out of energy. Something's happening with Ludomon. Nida orders him to fire, and he doesn't. And then he ejects back to his normal form and then faces off against Gigasmon. That's such a good little scene there. Nida really is not happy about Digimon disobeying order. Gigasmon starts pounding on him.
And neither is Gigasmon.
No, and he starts hitting him so much the shields break. And then Ludomon starts to defend with the head shield. That breaks. Granite really does not...
adorable little teddy bear.
Granite really doesn't understand. Reyna and Wolvermon try to point out Ludomon's protecting him. That's what he was born to do. And yeah, we get the nice little no armor design. I'm always shocked how few people know that design exists, to be honest. Because they've shown us art of it a few times. I'm always surprised, but I shouldn't be, because it's one of those things that does not really show up in places.
Yeah, he's not exactly a super popular Digimon. It's not like, oh, everyone's seen the art of, like, Gabumon without his cloak. Haha, funny lizard.
Then Ludomon's goggles crack, no way to defend himself. Reyna calls out to Granite that he has to fight too. Granite flashes back and realizes, you know, Stella wouldn't want this, so forth. Granite doesn't want to be alone anymore. And then his E-pulse starts to flow. Although... this is where I feel like E-Pulse kind of is more the weird deus ex machina rather than like an actual structural thing. Is they're like, he's out of E-Pulse, unless they need more E-Pulse, and then he has it. Even though from everything they explained of it, that minus Tomuro, that should not be how it works. Now, I appreciate the rule of cool, but like, now I'm also very much willing to accept that they may show this all to be fake later.
Well, there was also Reyna attempting to give Granite more E-Pulse, but she said, like, it wasn't working. It wasn't transferring or something like that.
Yeah.
So, they're a little loose with it.
Yeah, and then Ludomon evolves to Teal Ludomon, and man, like, I know why they did it. That minimal evolution sequence was very unfulfilling.
Yeah.
You know why they did it, right?
No.
In the full evolution sequence... He probably has all his gear on, and they don't want to show him in the gear for the rest of the episode for the dramatic purpose of it. So they have to.
So they're probably going to give him back his armor later.
Well, I never took that he had lost it permanently, honestly, because what would Ludomon actually do? There's nothing to
make adorable teddy bear noises.
Yeah. So yeah, if they skipped all the Ludomon stuff, they did not skip. Yeah. Teal Ludomon's new stronger shields blast off Gigasmon's arms and legs. They don't know what to do with Gigasmon in fights, do they?
Apparently they decided that cutting off his arms a bunch is the go-to now.
And he talks now. This isn't where they will die. Naido's pissed. Progonomon arrives to the fight. Then Kyo's like, it's time to get the fuck out of here. Rossmon opens a mirror world portal. Tomuro spots Gokumon and Genjo watching, but is actually mature enough this time to go. Glowing Dawn.
Like, that bastard.
Yeah.
But we need to retreat.
Yeah, no sign of Raido when they got out.
Even Gekkomon's like, live to fight another day. Yeah.
Then Tomuro apologizes for causing all of it. He explains what happened. Naido shows Clay that he has footage of them at the arena. Right as the alarm goes off, we find out the auction list was leaked. Clay looks nervous. And we find out Genjo talking to Wong about the event and what Clay has done. And it ends with a bounty being put on Clay by Wong.
Yeah, it looks like the five stars have a lot of turnover, it seems, for various reasons.
Yeah. Can we also point out that, and this is something that I think most people called years ago, that they made a design mistake with Teal Ludemon that they would never do properly, which is putting the QR code there is a terrible idea for if you ever decide to use the character, because you're not actually going to do that. So instead they draw like a really poor animatable example of a QR code that doesn't really look good. Like
it makes sense.
Initially,
I'd totally forgotten about it. It's like,
it does make sense. This is funny because
or something.
In animation, Teal Ludemon looks really nice. Like they've done some good work to make that design work in animation. And then you look at the one arm, it's just like fucked up squares. Because they want it to still look like that, but they can't do the actual effort to frame by frame. So they did it in like the worst way possible. I feel like they should have just come up with like some basic squarish design that looked nice, but is not quite a QR code and just gone with it. Because as it is, it kind of looks like trash, honestly. But here's the thing.
I think what they could have done.
I know, but that's the other thing is if Teal Ludemon hadn't have looked good in animation, I would not be complaining about the one thing looking like shit. The problem is Teal Ludemon looks good, and that's just something that brings it down a bit and annoys me, since he does look good. What were you saying, Dev?
I'm trying to think like what they could have done realistically.
I feel like
other than maybe like using like a 3D model and then just
Nah, they're not gonna go to that effort. I feel like what you do is something like a square with a few lines coming off it, something that they can easily redraw, but that looks like more stylish rather than worrying about it kind of looking like a QR code, which isn't really what it's gonna be at this point.
Maybe they could just do like a microchip print or something like that.
Probably. I wonder if that ends up being the same problem, though. Don't know. Very good episode. Dealt with a number of plots. I do think we did get what we both said had to happen, is we had to get some sort of follow-up with Granite's plot. Raito's follow-up is very fleeting and unfulfilling, honestly.
It's like, oh, Raito is right behind us. Where the fuck did he go? Yeah.
And I feel like they need to detail more why Tomuro cares, not about like him being a person, but like him just doing terrible thing after terrible thing, and it not being like a friend that he knows. It's someone who he has only ever known who does terrible things. Like it's not like they had a moment where they understood each other or something. It feels like we need better clarification of that rather than just and I get the he wants to save everyone logic. It feels like it's not clarified well enough.
Maybe more will come up later.
Hopefully. And then Tactics certainly is shattered and kind of done as a functional group. Although you do have to wonder if we might see another Tactics group. Do you think so? I'm not sure it'd be fulfilling.
It's hard to say because
Clay
is in charge of Tactics.
But here's the thing.
Clay's fucked now.
But that's the thing. Like, if they have multiple squads, it doesn't feel like they'd let that go because they actually need people to do the footwork. I don't think we'd get something like this again because it'd be unfulfilling, I think. Ironically, I'd say this is probably the best Tactics episode so far.
Yeah, they actually all had personality and had things going on. And I guess Kyo has another child.
Yeah. And as for Progonomon, voiced by Kosei Hirota, which they had not announced some of the five-star Digimon, he was Mercurymon in Digimon Savers.
Neat.
Some of his roles were the Robo World President in Red Line, Zelbert in Submarine Super 99. Are you ready for some dubbed over content, Dev?
Yes, because I did not recognize those previous two.
Okay. He often dubs over for Danny Trejo. In both 1990 Spider-Man cartoons, he was the Japanese J. Jonah Jameson.
That is pretty random.
And in Batman Brave and the Bold, he was Joe Chill.
That one I don't recognize. I have not seen that one.
And then in 2 weeks, we had episode 22, Defiance, which follows up with a tactic stuff, five-star stuff. But also, it is not next week. It is in 2 weeks, because next week we get a hiatus, because it's Nagano's Women's Marathon, which Digimon has often been on hiatus because of this, because it falls right smack here.
And I know it's for later, but they actually acknowledged the marathon with some cool social art.
Yes, they did. So that, at the same time the new episode would broadcast, the series director, character designer, and producer will be doing a Twitter Spaces. So we'll see if any good information pops from that. Generally, the answer is no, as these are often like generic Q&A things, but we will see.
Hopefully people ask some interesting questions that they actually can answer.
Not most of the questions they get are, is this Digimon going to show up? Will someone evolve? What's going to happen in the story? And those questions never even end up getting to them because, no, they're not answering that. Then we get some art from episode 20. Tomoro and Raido from the last episode. Some really good face shots from this one. Plus that full body Raido, which looks
solid. Happy we're consistently getting production artwork.
So am I. And then we get line test of the battle between Azarmon and Gekkoman. That is a good line art video.
I think I watched this like 3 times.
Yeah, it's one of the best ones, I think, that we've done. And then, so this is interesting / depressing. So we always like when we get the collaboration pop-up stuff, even if we don't like it. This is like the saddest. Yeah. This is like a sad, pathetic marketing one. Well, we saw the Flying Garden when we laughed at what the potential might be, but it was a bit confusing because it was coming up like within a week. Are you ready for what they've announced, Dev?
Yes.
They announced a social media contest where they will give away an eco bag and a hamburger steak set, and they will have oil splash mats at the restaurant themed after Beat Break. I don't know if it's a splash mat that goes under the thing or if it's like a bib for you. But like, there's, as far as I can tell, there is no themed products. There is no themed food. It's not even clear if there's actually art.
So this looks pretty sad.
Yeah. It's funny because like we had such high hope for something stupid for this one. It felt like they would do something interesting with like the hamburger steaks. But nah.
Yeah, I was going to say, what dumb shit are we going to be able to make fun of the next time they announce the actual menu?
So. Yeah. Okay. And then on March 24th, Hulu will get episodes 1 through 10 of the Beat Break English dub. That puts them...
Yeah, because I don't want to deal with Crunchyroll being a pain.
That puts them in pseudo-sync with Crunchyroll. I say pseudo-sync because almost certainly within the next week or two, we're going to get another drop of 5 episodes or so. So they'll be a bit behind by then, but it's good enough for now. And then, New Liberator, as we get near the end. So, Dev, when you read it, did it have that broken image near the beginning?
The what?
Liberator on, I don't know if it's only the official site or a few other places, but in some places, one of the image scrolls is broken near the beginning.
I didn't notice it on the platform that I used.
Okay.
It looked fine.
Yeah. If there was an issue, you would notice. It's not like a small issue. We get a nice character montage.
Yeah, I'm just going back and double checking to make sure I didn't hallucinate it. Yeah, no, it looks fine on mine.
One sec. Let me see if I can pull it up for you. One moment. But yeah, it's an interesting chapter because love that big character montage. Shoto talks about how he's changed because of people he's met. And then this is where I can't tell if it's a neat idea or if it's too much. When they do Super Dekuyan, and then they clarify why it happens, you'd think there'd be something about like the heart of the cards or something like that. But instead, they're like the will of Digimon Liberator itself. Terramon becomes Vortexdramon. The interesting thing for me, Dev, is the battle feels, it's a mix of very overpowered cards and kind of who can break the game. It's not, doesn't really feel like, well, did you say something, Dev?
No.
Oh, I thought your mic was going. But yeah, it feels like there is less of a coherent card game than there used to be in Liberator chapters.
Like, we kind of semi-expected this because there's been Alley Battle already essentially like broken rules before for...
It feels heavy here, doesn't it, though?
Yeah, just like, I'm just going to keep attacking. Fuck you.
I will like that when Vortexdramon gets...
Rules, I have green hair.
I like when Vortexdramon gets the suspend state. The trump card is actually summoning Zafagamon. For some reason, I just really like that. And it ends with Shoto winning the match. Unchained gives a single tear as it fades to white. Although it's not complete white, if you look carefully, you get a little star. Yeah,
Shane is blasting off for the first time.
Yeah, but yeah, I would be curious how the because that one thing being broken, it's almost like it loaded segments wrong. I sent it to Dev in the background while we were talking, and it definitely is fucked up.
Yeah, absolutely. I read it on another platform, and it just looked fine. So
yeah, makes sense. And then, so Dev, do you still think we get a 25?
Yeah, that looks really.
Do you think we still get 25, or do you think
absolutely?
Okay, we'll see.
We get 25.
We will see. It feels like they could wrap up next time if they want. And then we get a few anniversaries. 24th anniversary of Digimon Tamers Runaway Digimon Express. The 25th anniversary of Diablomon Strikes Back. Both of them are on Blu-ray in the U.S. finally. Hooray. And we got 25th anniversary art for Diablomon Strikes Back. I love how it's Vemon and Wormon with all the Kuramon. And we get the Armagamon head. I love it so much. You know what my favorite part of it is if you look, does it look less like there's an Armagamon and more like the Kuramon are just making the giant head?
Oh, I could definitely see that.
It just feels fun. I like it.
I'm so tempted to make that Kuramon my icon.
It feels shocking to have this be 25 years old. Like, shocking. Yeah. And then some more Time Stranger previews. UL Force Vegemon. I like everyone point out that so many of these poses have them in, like, generic letters. Like, look, it's an X. Jessmon X, who's sort of, but not quite, T-posing. Then we get a video preview of Omegamon X. Then a video preview of Magnamon X. Magnamon X, I think, looks really good in this, to be honest.
Looks pretty cool, but also I wish Omegamon X was here.
Well, yeah.
Omegamon in general. Zardiax.
Get a sip of water, Dev, as we have Cardopalooza. As we continue with ADO.
Oh, God, no.
You know what my favorite part about this is?
These are reprints.
No, you know what my favorite part of this is? You'll know in a minute. So we get reprints of Paledramon, Imperialdramon Dragon Mode, and Imperialdramon Fighter Mode Ace. I like that they previewed them all at once. Paladin Mode Ace. Then Dev's favorite card of all time. XVmon from EX1.
This is fucking wretched. I did not want to see this background ever again.
Then, don't worry, though. As an apology, you get a reprint of a very good Vegemon card.
It's not enough of a G.
Then, Fire Rocket.
They can never be forgiven.
Kaiser / Emperor. What's funny is, since this is an earlier one...
Okay, they can be forgiven for this one.
What's funny is, you can tell they've gotten so much better with the anime-style art since then.
Yeah, this just feels kind of... Party compared to the newer ones.
Let's see. Dead or Alive. I like it even if it's a reprint. It's neat to see it again. Final Zubagon Punch. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Has Blastmon not been reprinted in the set yet? I don't think he has.
Huh.
Then new cards for Gaiamon Ace and a Parallel. Both of these look great. More Western comic stylings for these. I like the normal one more than the parallel card, though.
I like the first one a little bit more.
I like how we said it at the same time.
Yeah, like...
It just looks better, I think.
Well, the colors work so much better.
Yeah, I think it's not just the colors. I think the pose just looks better.
Also, the white and red for the border just really...
Works?
Very nicely.
Yeah.
With the colors on him.
Then we get... Analog Boy / Youth in Analog Man. Yuji. Ukumon. I remember when this reprinted, most people are like, there was a point when like almost every deck had this card in it at events. Because I guess it was so useful at the time. Then we get Yggdrasil 76. You know, I feel like I remember
Is
not like...
Posing?
I feel like I remember not liking this art, but it also feels like it's grown on me. Then reprint.
I remember this because it's just the super basic clip art. It's just like only the coloring makes it a little more cool looking.
Jessmon and Gankumon. I think the Jessmon one holds up well, honestly.
Yeah, the Gankumon's pretty basic.
I feel like this would be cool if someone wanted it like as part of a poster. For Gankumon, that is. Then Eximon. Is this the one where we feel like he didn't show the scale well enough? Because we just have the clouds behind him.
Yeah, because there was nothing else in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, on other art, sometimes they'll have another Digimon in there or some other architecture to show, like, oh, this one is fuck-off huge.
Yeah, then we get new cards of Kreskarumon and Blitzkrieg-mon. This is anime-style art of them with Yamato and Taichi from Digimon Adventure 2020. Really good art, to be honest. Although I will.
Bullshit.
So when I first saw this, I'm like, it feels like you would want to do a panorama of this. And then the parallel card was a big, crazy-ass panorama. We get our beloved model kit style box art.
It's beautiful.
The panorama looks really good. The one weird thing about this, does it feel like Blitzkrieg-mon? We've seen him pose like this before somewhere. Like, it feels like it's inspired by existing art.
I think you're right, especially with like the cannon kind of like facing the viewer with the rest of the body kind of like in three-quarter going away towards the background.
You know what it probably is? It's probably that there's art of War Greymon like this. And it's just familiar.
Or Omegamon.
And it's just familiar enough to like prick that part of your brain. And that's what's making me think of it. Cool Boy and X-Antibody. So a number of people wondered why Cool Boy looked like this. Since it's been a while we've seen this, this is how he looked like as like the cool older character in that one like instructional thing they did for Digimon Chronicle.
That was the little booklet that came with the VPET.
Well, that's the weird thing. He wasn't in the actual comic thing. He was in like the instructional part. So they drew him as like a cool older character, and they later took him and started using him for Liberator. But this is like the original art. Am I wrong, or before this card originally came out a few years ago, I don't think we had this in nice quality, did we?
No, it was tiny and grungy and had a lot of dithering on it because it was just so goddamn small.
Yeah,
from the instruction booklet.
Okay, that's what I thought. Then Cutemon, Pillowmon, and Bakumon/Tapermon. The Bakumon I actually still like.
I'm okay seeing these again.
Yeah. Shakumon, Modoki, Betamon, and Otamon. I'm okay seeing these again. Although it does feel weird that Modoki Betamon as a character like vanished because it doesn't really have a reason to exist anymore. Except that it's just card bait now.
Yeah.
Because the entire point of the creation was he was a slightly different Betamon that had a slightly different attack, and like 6 months after he was introduced, they gave Betamon that attack. So it ends up being exactly like Betamon, just with slightly different color.
It's like, we're just using this with a slightly different model color to fill out the roster for the PS1 game.
Yeah. Then Galoos, Gamamon, and Regulusmon. These are from like a year ago.
I still really like that Galoos Gamamon with the apple.
I do too. It's just slightly weirder than some of these, because some of these are like, oh, we haven't seen this in 3 or 4 years, so it's kind of interesting to see again. The Galoos Gamamon, like, I'm pretty we may have done the preview of that less than a year ago. And then we get Shadramon and
Alter. It definitely feels like it.
Then Shadramon and Alter Kabuterimon and Mega Kabuterimon. I like these. Although I wish Atler Kabuterimon got better, like, showing off in his own art. There is a Palmon.
Palmon and Tentomon are.
There is a Palmon like the same size as he is.
Yeah.
Then in card battle.
Oh, and also like the Modimon in the left hand side under the S. He's even bigger.
I think I missed him entirely. Then in card battle, they do a booster set 81 match. It ends up being Crossheart versus Shine Greymon decks. Moving on from cards,
I'll end up watching that one.
We get products. So first up, the lookup figures of Agumon and Gabumon from Digimon Adventure getting another re-release. These will be 4180 yen, released July and August or August, September in the U.S. Now, if I remember right, Agumon was from Wave 1 and Gabumon was from Wave 2 originally, I think. Because they did Tailmon at the same time as Agumon, and she had the neck articulation that they removed later.
Yeah. And then the next set was Patamon and Gabumon.
Yeah. So, reprinting these. Be out in a few months. Do you think more will be reprinted? Because I believe most of the others have been reprinted a second time. This is the third or fourth for these.
So, I definitely think so. They're really cute set. They're pretty easily acquired, and they look nice. So.
And then the Digimon Adventure 2020 Chibi plushies are getting a re-release. They'll be released in April. All eight of them are. These still look goofy and nice. These are fun. Who do you think looks the best out of these, Dev?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the worst. I feel like Tentomon and Patamon have it.
I feel like the worst is mean because there's really only one of them that actually looks a bit goofy to my eyes, and that's Piomon.
Yeah, the top of her head doesn't look like it's having a good time.
Looks a bit goofy. Then some more pictures from Toy Fair. So better looks at the new shells. I'm trying to decide if I like the way the color stops. I know we discussed it, I think, last time or the time before. I don't know how I feel about that.
Especially, I guess it's the cut production costs.
Probably. Look, if it keeps it at 20, it's not a huge complaint, but they've done some of those like full wrap ones lately. It looks neat.
Yeah, but weren't those like premium Bandai exclusive?
Yeah, and that is the issue. Then the more pictures of the Box Digimon Partners figures. So first up, a number of these have been fixed because clearly people are touching them, so someone's put them back mostly.
Touching them, more like smashing them to bits. My God.
Yeah, a lot of these are busted up. So a product pamphlet would appear to suggest these are, in fact, blind boxes. These may be cheaper than we think, though, as I guess they're small enough to use as keychains, which seems odd, but we will see.
They looked bigger than that to me.
Yeah, it definitely says, though, they can be displayed on a shelf or attached via keychain as a charm. Like, in my head, this is like maybe like 3 or 4 inches across.
I'm guessing like 5 or 6.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I don't really think there's anything else to scale with them.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see what they look like later we have, because you're right, it is hard to get the scale. Then more looks at these plushies. I think these are all early prototypes, the more I see them.
Yeah, these look terrible.
Nah, I don't think they look terrible. Minus a few things, especially Izzy's shirt on Tentomon.
Oh God, it's so bad. But also,
I love the eyes on Tentomon's head. Face. Tentomon's head looks great. They need to fix that shirt, though. Get him a proper shirt. And I will say, I love the hat on Palmon.
And Palmon's the only one that gets a pass.
Hey, are you insulting the Jay Leno Agumon?
Absolutely. I want him and the Goomba Agumon to fight to the death.
I feel like Goomba would win. Then moving on from that, this was an interesting product because here's the thing. Especially if you're a newer fan, you may not like know about this. The original Digimon card game would keep getting new cards and products even when it was not a viable card game to play. Like, they would do collectibles and weird shit for it. Basically, I think the first few things even came out after the new card game started. Because they did a set, like, with Kizuna characters, didn't they?
I believe so.
Yeah, so we were
still, I think it was like a premium Bandai something or other.
Yeah, so even when it was not a viable card game to play, we would still get collectibles from it. So here we get acrylic charm keychains based on cards from the original card game. I need to see how large these are because they're clearly very small. But I love the idea. Although I would like some, if they do more, I would like some more variety minus these are all Digimon Adventure and also one from 02, who is also basically from Adventure. So these will be out later this month.
Cute.
300 yen, I assume, in Gashapon brand machines.
Good.
Also, I love that the keychain hook part, the whole part, is just an extension of the border.
Yeah, it looks like pretty decently sturdy as well. I wouldn't want it just like self-destructing immediately.
Oh yeah, they made it a good size, I think. So we'll see. Then new poll, favorite Digimon partner from Tactics. That's well.
I feel like after this week, Ludamon is going to be higher up on the.
So I feel like, Mondragon and Ludamon, I feel like are battling for first place. Shakomon and Gigasmon, I feel like are battling for fourth place, and here's why: Shakomon has not done all that much. And Gigasmon has sort of, they keep going like, oh shit, it's Gigasmon, he's going to do something cool, and then his arms fall off.
Yeah.
But yes, I feel like...
Also, Shakomon was in Survive, so I feel like it might get some love from...
Here's what I think the order will be. Ludamon, Monodramon, Shakomon, Gigasmon. I don't know if I prefer Monodramon or Ludamon first, but I think that's the order.
Oh, I already voted for Monodramon, but that's because I'm eternally a slut for Monodramon.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the order I expect. So this runs until March 11th. Get in your votes, people. It means nothing, but it still can be fun. And then we have the weekend batch.
We get to comment on it.
So first up, reference book updates. So there's a bunch of these from different times, so we're just kind of going in order. So Shoutmon X4S. A lot of people seem shocked this was not already there.
Well, they didn't have a lot of the
Crosswords until a few years ago.
DS game ones.
Yeah. No, it was a normal DS, wasn't it? Super Crosswords, I think, was normal DS. I don't think it was 3DS.
Huh.
Then Shoutmon X3SD. Then Shoutmon X3GM. That design feels like it does not...
It's cool.
That design needs larger art.
Yeah, it's kind of a gritty. Yeah.
Then Vortexramon. Honestly, I love the design of Vortexramon. I don't think the design is benefited by profile art.
It looks cooler in motion, especially over like scrolling vertical webcomic taking up essentially several pages.
Or when we just get that close-up art, like in the card. And then we also just got Shoutmon X5S, Armamon.
Yeah.
And to confuse everyone, Armamon Burst Mode, which had previously been named Omega Armamon Burst Mode. But that always seemed to confuse people because there was no Omega Armamon.
They were never very consistent with...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember them leaving off the Omega one. Wasn't it like a V-jump where they called him like Armamon Burst or something? There was somewhere...
I don't even remember at this point. It was so long ago.
There was somewhere where the name was listed weirdly. But yeah, so we've got a nice run of reference book updates for the first few months of the year. And then moving on from the reference book, we get previews of a number of products. So we get the previews of the Beat Break pop-up shops that have shown up in a few places, plus the various waves of Beat Break, Adventure, and Time Stranger products. I think the one issue I have with the Beat Break theme park, do they do way too many acrylic stands? There's like three series of them.
Yes, but I kind of want them all.
Do you want the giant Tomro that can crush everyone to death?
Yes. Tomorrowzilla.
And then Ayumi Miyazaki posted a few things. So first, since he was back in Japan, photo of him working in the studio. He mentions that the track was done well. And he also points out the engineer is a longtime associate. He tips his hat to his talent and work ethic and building such a nice studio. He then posted that a shop in Nakamiguro that he's been going to for 19 years was closing, so he stopped in for one last drink. Apparently a unique version of a drink they have that called a mint beer. And he notes another familiar place is closing. He finished by saying there are meetings and there are partings. I don't know what I don't know what a mint beer is. I feel like I don't want it to just be they pour mint in beer. But also it feels like it'd be that.
It might just be the photo, but it looks like on the little coaster that the beer is on, is that like just like a little mint in like one of those little chalky mints?
See, I thought
a piece of plastic wrap.
See, I thought that was just part of the coaster and we just can't see it. But I get what you mean.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, chat doesn't like the idea of mint beer. Then we get some card game art, which is showing Taromon returning and Muchomon being up. Muchomon's the best part of this art.
He's just blubbering because he's so happy to have his bro back.
And then this is part of why, Dev, I think your 25 chapter guess may be off. They put up art where it's like, oh, we're nearly at the end. Here's a neat piece of face-off art. And it is very neat, to be fair. I love the color where it just goes from the purple to the yellow-orange. Very good art.
Oh, Unchained looks unhinged, and I love it.
And it was noted that the art was done by Seiho917, who did various art for Digimon Liberator. I believe they did many of the chapter covers and the webcomic art, I believe. Not webcomic, the art for the web novel. Yeah, I think that's them. And then
I want to eat their art skills.
Then we get art from Usagi Bochi and Tomura 1 showing Shoto Awakened and Vortexmon. And Shoto actually drew, we get the little Muchomon and the Zafagamon. That is Muchomon at the bottom left, right?
Yes, it is. I can see his
that's what I thought.
And his little foot.
But it's one of those where I'm looking and I'm like, could that be lines from the Vortexmon at the bottom right? And I'm misinterpreting them.
Nope. I can see his
okay, good.
Little stubby fat legs.
And then from last week's episode of Beat Break, CH drew art of Greymon because they worked on the Greymon segment of the episode, just to show off.
There's that scar that you pointed out that I had totally missed the first time watching it.
Yeah, I saw this and I'm like, okay, I did not imagine that. He's definitely drawing like scarring there.
Yeah.
Then they did post for Raito's birthday, which is February 29th, so they posted on February 28th. We got art of Raito and Monodramon from the Digimon TV account. And then Takiro Kojima, who's the character designer for Beat Break, also did a nice bit of art of Raito, just his face with the sparkles.
Maybe that's the reason why Raito is such a bitch baby, because he's technically like 4 years old.
You know what the funniest part is? Even for like the neat birthday art, doesn't he look like you just want to kind of punch him?
Yeah, he deserves it.
Then for Beat Break episode 21, Kojima also did an image of Haruomi and Commandramon for it. And Akmini Aki did a casual looking grin with headphones. So first, I like how Kojima doesn't always do art based on the episode. It's sometimes just neat art. But when I look at the art of Granite, am I wrong, or does he seem like weirdly too tall? Like I know
honestly,
we
he looked fine. The thing that came to mind was,
do you think it's that he's not wearing all his
he
gear?
He looked like the yeah, because that coat is pretty blocky.
Okay, that's probably what it is.
Well, then it looks like the outfit from the theme park set.
1 second, I don't think I even noticed that. You know, you're right. I don't. It's not exact, but it is pretty close. I think it is based on that, and you're right. What I think it is the one in the theme park set feels very much like a actual like jersey, and this one's more like a workout type clothes version of it, I think.
Yeah, but he still has like the pink headphones and everything, so it kind of fits.
I think you're right. I think it's just a more of a sketch type version of it. But yeah, you're right. That is supposed to be that outfit. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, to be honest. And then we get some art for the beginning of March, which is art of Digimon running a marathon. As they point out, Tokyo's having one, so the digital world's going to have one also. And this is referencing the Nagano Women's Marathon.
Look, it's all, well, I guess aside from Pulsemon, it's all the partner Digimon that die.
And may come back.
Maybe.
So what you're saying is Pulsemon better watch his back.
Absolutely.
Someone's coming for him. Watch out, Pulsemon. You won't get to do a new volume of Digimon Dreamers. Okay, chat, time for questions. You guys in chat can throw yours in while we start with the ones that were sent to us ahead of time. Someone said, how do you feel about how the dub for Digimon Beat Break has been in small episode batches rather than single episodes or larger binge batches? I think it's hard to gauge because I feel like the second batch, it feels like we didn't really get much warning. Like, the first batch, like...
Oh, yep, it's here.
Yeah, like, I think the first time they told us was that morning. So it's harder to gauge because, like, if it were every week, we would know it's every week. Since it's, you know, just under half a dozen, I feel like it needs more warning. But I kind of wish it was just kind of like one every week. I feel like that'd be a bit easier for people to follow. As it is, I feel like people are not following the dub that well.
Yeah, I think if you just did it one at a time, that would be better for continued
viewing,
watchability.
Yeah.
Just because some people just like watch all of one thing and then just fuck off to something completely different.
Yeah. Then Stark asks, what inanimate object would you like to see be imagined into a new Digimon?
A Boba Tea.
Do you imagine that, like, it will close its mouth and it blows and the Boba starts shooting out of the straw like a machine gun?
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I want it to be... I keep in my head thinking of ones and I'm like, oh, there is one of those. I got it. A straw. So instead of being violent like the Boba Tea one, it just is annoying and keeps trying to squirt stuff at people.
And makes really annoying noises when it's not have enough liquid left.
Exactly. Someone asked, what are the types of meals you feel like you could eat over and over and be perfectly happy?
Cake.
Oh, see, I was going to think of actual meals like sushi, that type of stuff.
Anything with rice or like breakfasty foods, because, yeah.
Makes sense.
Something slightly sweet.
Someone said, which version of a Digimon do you want to see done up as a toy like Toy Agumon?
Ooh.
I thought of the funniest one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Toy Omegamon, and it has a rivalry with Omegamon because they both want to be Omegamon.
That would be amazing. But would the Toy Omegamon be like more like Legos or more like a little model kit?
I don't know, because in my head, I want to say a model kit, but it feels like that would just kind of be NX Edge Omegamon. And I feel like it's goofier if they both don't, if they both look more like a fake Omegamon, so the Lego type probably works better. If that makes sense.
One's a lovingly crafted toilet paper roll. The other one is Legos.
In chat, they're asking, isn't Omegamon already a Lego? Not quite, but
no,
sort
he's
of.
More like a toilet paper roll craft with craft paper and stuff put together. He's lovingly put together.
Oh, one
effort
suggestion.
And hopes and dreams went into him.
One suggestion chat gave, which is good, is Toy Monsumon. I think a Lego Monsumon would work well.
Hard to say.
Or do you think?
Like,
or do you think
it works better with like softer, rounder shapes?
Yeah, I was gonna say. Do you think him being a plush is so inherent to that that it kind of ruins it if it isn't?
Yeah, because like he's already a toy.
Yeah.
He's already a stuffed bear.
Yeah. Then someone said, "We're getting near Digimon Con. How are you feeling for potential announcements this year?" I still kind of stick to the take it as a fun day and take announcements as bonuses.
Announce a pop-up shop with a really fucked up menu that we can make fun of.
That's almost for sure. I mean, hell, there could be one with four different themes this year because we have anniversaries for Tamers, Savers, Atmon, and Ghost Game. Then someone asked...
Now, would Gamamon's theme drinks just be chocolate, or would they be trying to match the colors of his body?
See, I feel like what you do is you make it a chocolate drink, and you put, like, five marshmallows on top, four of which have been slightly wettened and, like, rolled in colored sugar. So you get, like, so you get small ones, like a white small one, green small one, blue small one, red small one, and then a big marshmallow, which is half in black sugar and half in pink.
That's perfect. They should hire you.
But then people would want to have the drinks. Then let's see.
Yeah.
They point out this is a question they wouldn't normally ask, but do we know what animal unarmored Ludomon is? Is he a bear?
It looks like a bear or a sloth of some sort. He just looks like a generic little stuffed animal kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be just like a generic stuffed animal thing that's meant to like remind you of a few animals, but isn't specifically
like
anything.
A rag doll kind of.
Basically, yeah. Because I think the idea is it's like a generic one under the shell, and you're not really supposed to see under the shell, so it's just like generic, I think, is the idea.
So cute and pathetic.
And then someone asked, since I talked about them last time, how was I feeling with the new Resident Evil and Scrubs? Beat the new Resident Evil, quite liked it. And new Scrubs so far has been great. Like, it's exactly what I wanted from Scrubs. I'm very pleased. A few surprises, but very good. Last chance in chat for questions. Someone said, if there was some sort of Digimon collaboration in the U.S. that ended up with food or drink, do you think you'd try it, and what would you like to see? So, do you think you'd try it? I think for both me and Dev, it would be, what is the trip?
Yeah, it's like, how physically close is it?
Like, 10 but minutes, yes.
Assuming it was...
How long?
Drive up to an hour. I mean, I do that for work.
Yeah, I feel like that's a round one. It would also depend on, like, the crowds. If it's an hour drive, would I be sure to get in, or would it be a 3-hour wait and hoping for it?
There wouldn't be that long of a wait for Digimon US side for a pop-up shop.
I doubt it, but you never know. Sometimes these places get weird, especially if they have stuff people think they can resell. Like, people will pop up with, like, I found a Digimon calendar from 2001. How much is it worth? It's like,
$10,000.
No. Minus $10,000. But yeah, and what we'd like to see, I would like edible food and drinkable drinks. And here's the thing. I don't necessarily mean stuff I like. I just mean stuff that when I look at does not make me go, oh, this looks terrible.
I mean, I hope there's at least one on there that is horrifying and nightmarish, just so we can shit all over it. But the rest of them, I would like to actually be able to, you know, properly ingest them and not be horrifyingly disgusted.
Remember was it Kizuna, the blue curry? Was it Kizuna or Try?
I think it was Try.
It's hard to tell because there's been terrible ones for them all. But yeah.
I don't know. What stands out to me the most is the extremely gritty drinks for Joe.
Yeah. Because it always uses like the crushed sesame paste because they don't know what else to use for him. Remember the time
I would like to drink sand, please.
Do you remember when the drink was, it was going to be like the sesame paste mixed with hot milk and it just looked like gray sludge?
Yes. Yes. That was disgusting looking.
Was that one where they also did the, and there's one marshmallow in it, or am I imagining that?
I think the one marshmallow was for Sora's drink.
No. They've done that for multiple drinks. I just mean like, I feel like there was a Joe hot milk drink and I'm trying to remember if it had something in it. Trying to see if I can find it quickly enough before we tap out. Come on, let's see if I can find it.
We should make a section of With the Will dedicated to nothing but the collaboration drinks and food. So we can easily reference them and go, what the fuck was this?
I couldn't find it, but I did find, this might be worse. One sec, I'll share it with you and check, because I was trying to see if I could find it before we finish up. This may be worse. It's just milky and slightly gray. With a sprig of mint. Yeah, that I don't want this. What is this? One second. Okay, the name does not help. Do you know what they say this is, Dev? What do you think
Your
they
nightmare?
Say it is? No, are you ready for what they say it is?
Cowpiss.
Banana milk.
Ew.
That is not the right color for
a banana drink.
And it's gray? Yeah, that's... I feel like that has to be food coloring. That does not look right.
Look, food coloring of that color usually tastes pretty fucking nasty.
I don't know.
Look, black food coloring just tastes exceptionally bitter. It's
well, because it's most of the time it's based on squid ink, isn't it?
Don't know.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like one more person in chat's going to throw up a question, so we'll do that one and then we'll call it. Yeah, there's been a big run of drinks and food that just do not look appealing. To me, personally, there's not really... We're not answering questions about why shows do or don't have guide listings. There's nothing about that. Sometimes stuff is... It may have guide listings. It just may not be the stuff me or people I talk to look at. It's not... There's no real explanation for that type of thing. Yeah, I mean, you have to remember...
Anyone even use TV Guide anymore?
Well, they put it in, like, entertainment magazines. So, like, in your Animedias and so forth. The other thing to remember is regardless of what anyone working on the show says, it's 9 a.m. on Sundays. It's a show for kids. Like, I know people desperately want to believe it's aimed at mature. What they mean is they want the adult audience, but it's still at the 9 a.m. block for kids. So it is still kind of the same thing it always was. And question two, is it unusual for Digimon Con to not be announced other than V-Jump? It doesn't matter. It's a marketing announcement. Until they announce dates and stuff, it doesn't really matter, to be honest.
It's usually just like fun, small stuff anyway. Usually it's nothing like super major.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, the entire reason why the magazine exists is to get people to buy the magazine for brand new. So they have to have stuff to announce for it. In the sense of it does not really matter where it's announced, because the initial announcement for a streaming event doesn't mean anything, because until you actually give like a stream address, there is no actual news. Especially since I think they announced Digimon Con, didn't they announce it like December or November anyways? They just didn't say anything much about it.
Don't they usually like, oh, it's going to exist, we'll announce announcements of the announcement.
Yeah, I think they did that because we saw the art with Agiomon and Gemmon, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, they already announced it before the V-Jump. The V-Jump is just going, oh yeah, here's the date and time, and then they still have more stuff to announce, so they'll get to that by the next week or two. Yeah, unfortunately, that's just all like business minutia. There isn't any, there's absolutely nothing interesting about any of it, unfortunately. And frankly, I would suspect they don't, the guide stuff's done less because the number of times people just start pouring over, even complaining to the official channel about stuffing guides, almost makes it not worth their effort to do it, because people just complain about it a lot. Dev would remember the people who would read the guide data for Ghost Game, and then we'd see them on social media.
Hallucinate like, an episode?
They would hallucinate an episode, and then after the episode aired, we would see them tagging the official channels, or the official Twitters and stuff, complaining that the episode was not what they thought it was going to be based on the guide data. And just, at some point, it's just not worth it. There probably is one somewhere that it's probably just not where we're seeing it. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Ludomon, because he is a precious baby.
That's actually a good choice this time. I can be found at With the Will as always. There is no Beat Break next week. I expect me and Dev will be here at the same time. Probably just go through the news in a slightly quicker than normal episode. But we will see.
Who knows? Depends on what Liberator does.
Yeah, Liberator could do something cool that we want to talk about more. Especially since, without Beat Break, we'll see. And it wouldn't be a shock if there's more Beat Break dub episodes by then, to be honest. I had to mute myself to avoid coughing. So, we will catch you guys next time. Thank you for showing up. Bye.
Bye.